20 million people have gained health insurance coverage since the Affordable Care Act went into effect in 2010. President-elect Donald Trump has said he plans to repeal Obamacare when he's in office. I spoke with Dr. Charles Fenzi, CEO and CMO of Santa Barbara Neighborhood Clinics, to get a clearer sense of what would happen if Trump follows through with his plans.
So the Affordable Care Act expanded eligibility for Medicaid. And what that means is that instead of just covering people up to the federal poverty level, 100%, it extended that up to 138% of the federal poverty level. So in other words, anybody who living at 138% or below the federal poverty level would then be eligible for Medicaid. And so what that's done is allowed a whole lot more people to have Medicaid coverage. And in our practice, it's probably around 2,000, 2,500 folks who suddenly became eligible through Medicaid. The other part of the Affordable Care Act was that it made available insurance subsidies so that people who made too much money to qualify for Medicaid would then be able to have some monies from the feds to pay for their insurance plan. And that extended all the way up to 400% of the poverty level. So those were the exchanges. In California, it's called Cover California. And so if we get rid of the ACA in its entirety, we're going to roll back the expansion to 100% of the federal poverty level, and we're going to get rid of the exchanges, meaning that people who were getting subsidies for health coverage will no longer get those subsidies. And so while that didn't affect, that won't affect us a great deal, the exchanges won't, because the folks who were covered by the exchange had these very high deductibles. So coming in to see us as, in an office practice, most of them would not have met their deductibles, so they were still paying out of pocket. But it will affect the folks who were living between 100% and 138% at the federal poverty level. They will all of a sudden be self-pay again. Self-pay means no pay source. So if we look at our payer mix back in 2010, before the Affordable Care Act, about 33% of our patients were self-pay, meaning had no coverage. And with the Affordable Care Act, at least in our practice, it's dropped down to about 19%. But across California, it's down to about 9%. And so that's a huge number of people that are covered that were not covered in 2010. Mm. And so we could very well see that go back to the 2010 payer mix levels. The people who are really frightened, actually, quite honestly, are the currently undocumented immigrants. And that's across all many cultures, not just one. And so I understand people are very frightened because there's been at least comments about eliminating their availability. One of the things that could happen with the healthcare, with the FQHC funding, is to put in restrictions like no government funds are to be used for caring for undocumented immigrants. And that would be very difficult to manage in a clinic like ours, where probably 20% of our patients, we don't track it, but 20% of our patients are undocumented, maybe. But when you think about the health of the community, those people who are contributing to our community in almost every case need to be cared for if we're going to maintain the health of the community.
Repealing the Affordable Care Act would require 61 votes from the Senate, a number that Republicans don't have. However, Republicans do have enough power to scale back and make changes to the Affordable Care Act.
There are things that the federal legislature can do without having to have a supermajority. Anything that they do to change the law has to have a 61%. But they can do a budget amendment, or the so-called budget reconciliation process, and with a simple majority amend the current law. And that could accomplish a couple of things. They could defund the exchanges or the expansion. It's unlikely, we're told from all of our consultants and people in Washington who are paying close attention to this, that nothing's probably going to happen for 18 months to 2 years. And I just heard from another consultant yesterday that maybe it's going to be 3 years. And the reason for that is that the Republicans are, the Republican Congress is going to have a viable replacement, because dumping million people who now have coverage that didn't have coverage in 2010 is not going to get them reelected. That's my personal opinion. The other thing that's at risk is how the FQHCs get paid, or how Medicaid gets funded. Right now, Medicaid is funded through a cost basis. In other words, California has a certain cost, and the feds will match that cost one-to-one. And you can actually ask for waivers and put in new innovative programs, and you can increase your costs, and you get paid for that. So instead of that, what the Republican plan calls for is to replace that funding with what are called block grants. And what that is just a bucket of money that comes to the state, and the state has to live within that. Anything that they spend over that, they have to come up with themselves. And so most people feel that block grants will not keep up with the expense of the program. Now that cannot be done with a simple majority. That has to go through a new legislative process, and so it has to have a supermajority, 61%, which will be hard for them to do by themselves. They'll have to have some Democrats get on that. We feel that the consultants that we've talked to feel that the FQHC process, we are an FQHC, Federally Qualified Health Center. And that process was written into law, into the healthcare law, under something called Section 330E. And so those entities that are certified as 330E recipients get money every year for operations from the feds. And that's likely to continue, according to our consultants. Mr. Trump has said in both before and after the election that he sees these clinics as being the safety net. And so I think these clinics are going to be around. How they're funded will be the issue, I think.
With Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana, being our vice president-elect, we might see an alternative model of health insurance on the table. It's called the Healthy Indiana Plan 2.0. This latest version of the Healthy Indiana Plan was made possible through Medicaid waivers sought by Mike Pence and approved by the Obama administration. Essentially, this program covers residents of Indiana who are at or near the poverty line, but incentivizes proactive health care by having copays and deductibles for expensive treatments.
But they put together a health plan for Medicaid Indiana called Healthy Indiana Plan. And that used a whole different model for providing care for the low-income people, where they had some skin in the game. There were deductibles and there were copays, particularly if you're using expensive parts of the system when it's not necessary. For instance, going to the emergency room, there was a copay, which Medicaid typically doesn't do. And so people would then be incentivized to get their primary care in a primary care office instead of getting their primary care in an emergency room. So I think I've taken a little bit of, I'm feeling positively that if that's the model that we're going to promote as models for other states, that's something we could, I think, figure out how to live with.
It is hard to tell what a Trump presidency will mean for those who benefit from the Affordable Care Act. Dr. Charles Fenzi seems to think there are ways to make sure California residents stay insured.
Well, I think I guess the bottom line is we have to wait and see, because I think California legislature has already said, they're on record as saying that they don't want to roll this back to 2010 levels. And so it remains to be seen how that's going to work. But California is a unique state, as you well know. Mm-hmm. And so the legislature may come up with a lot of stuff. Plus, we have this new cigarette tax. And I don't know how much money that's going to generate, and I don't know where that money is going to be dedicated to health care, and that's a lot of money. And so maybe they can make up some of this at the state level, and so that we won't have as many people not covered.
Reporting for KCSB, I'm Kendra Lee.